This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org. Chris Brooks here, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Did you know that we are funded by the generosity of listeners just like you? Would you help us finish this month strong? Just call 888-644-4144 or give at equipradio.org.
Please enjoy the following pre-recorded encore presentation of Equipped with Chris Brooks.
Well, hey there, friends. Welcome to another exciting edition of Equipped with Chris Brooks. I'm so thrilled that you've joined us today. Can you do me a favor? Strap on your seatbelt. We're going to navigate through the contours of culture, as always, with the lens of the biblical worldview on. But before we do that, let me remind you, this is the day that the Lord has made. He has given it as a gift so that you and I can rejoice and be glad in it. So let's do just that. Let's follow the word to the Apostle Paul. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And with that, I welcome you into what will be a very exciting edition of Equip. Today, I want to ask a very important question, and that is, how are you preparing your heart for Easter? You know, when we are approaching Christmas, we often read Advent resources. Advent resources are resources that really center around preparation, the preparation of the heart leading up to Christmas morning. And there's a plethora of resources that are out there. But so often when it comes to this special day of Easter, which I would argue is the holiest day of the Protestant Christian calendar and beyond the world over, what is your preparation of the heart? How do you get ready for Easter? Well, today we want to help you to get ready for Easter spiritually and practically. And to help me to take you on this journey, I've invited in someone who I respect tremendously, Dr. Winford Neely. He is Vice President and Dean of Moody Theological Seminary. He's also a senior pastor of Judson Baptist Church in Oak Park, Illinois. He has served as a missionary and pastor in Senegal, West Africa, and he and his wife have been married for over 40 years, a father and a grandfather who's joining me today. How are you, brother?
Pastor Brooks, I'm doing very, very well. Thank you for asking. I'm doing well by the grace of God.
You know, when you think about Easter, I want you to take me back. I don't know your childhood. Did you grow up in a Christian home? What was Easter like for you growing up?
You know, that is a very good question. Did I grow up in a Christian home? Yes and no. That's a strange answer. How could that possibly be? Well, my mother, I believe she knew the Lord. Now, this
yes.
is the perspective of hindsight. But she was never discipled in the faith. She came to know the Lord Jesus as a girl when she was 13 and in rural Mississippi.
Yes.
When she came to know the Lord Jesus. And so she went to church, participated in church services, but was never grounded in Scripture.
I got
now, what she did do, she gave us verses so that before we would eat lunch or dinner, each sibling had a verse that they would have to say. You know, mine was, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God."
And
I asked my other brother, Michael, who was also a pastor, what his verse was, and he says he doesn't remember. And, of course, we had a good time laughing about that. But he said the preacher doesn't remember what his verse was. But
yes.
my stepfather, who raised me, of course, was not a believer. He came to know the Lord a week or so before his death. He died early at about 45. But it was a stable home with a regular church attendance.
Yes.
And I say all that to say that, you know, when I'm thinking of Christian home from my own perspective, I'm thinking about a lot more. I'm thinking about not only parents who know Christ, but a biblically informed,
yes,
and a theologically informed home. And, you know, and so.
Well, but was Easter special for you guys?
You know, well, we certainly did not prepare for Easter, but Easter Sunday was a big day.
It was a
big day, you know. So we would get, you know, we would get dressed up and, you know, put on our suits and ties, and we would go to church and,
yes,
and then come home and have a big dinner. But that was it. It was a high day, but there was no robust emphasis on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, although it was something I grew up hearing, that yes, Jesus was risen from among the dead.
Well, you know, you think about the magnitude of that message alone, and you think mm-hmm. about the fact that your summary of what you experienced is probably more common than not. Easter is a special day for many, many people. Even mm-hmm. those who are not regular church attenders, and I don't say that as a criticism, I say
sure.
that something in the psyche, the cultural, historical memory of us as a nation and broader than that, the world, I would argue, in particular the Western world, but even beyond that, there is something that resonates within us that this is a special moment. And I think we need to take advantage of that as Christians, not to despise that. We need to celebrate the fact that so many, even non-Christians or even nominally religious people, will say there's something special about Easter. What that often means, Dr. Neely, is, as you know, there are those who may not be open to an invitation to come and worship during the rest of the year. They would be open right now. There are those who would be willing to come to a gospel church to hear the word of God proclaim or to have gospel conversations. But I do want to ask this question. There are those who are resistant to Easter, those who say, well, there's a pagan history here. There is no reason to celebrate this. But why is it worthy of our attention and merited that we would celebrate the importance of Easter? What's so special about Easter?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Chris. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus is risen literally and bodily from among the dead. One of the reasons why believers gather to worship on the Lord's Day in the first place is because this is the day that the Lord Jesus rose from among the dead. So that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ has changed everything. But I think it seems to me that it's good to revisit the great acts of God in history. I mean, we see this in Scripture, these recital texts where there's discussion about the Exodus, for example, and the Red Sea and deliverance from the Red Sea, and how this great deliverance impacted Israel for centuries in terms of the way they worshiped God, in terms of the way they remembered God. And so the focus on the resurrection actually recalibrates us, realigns us, and helps us to bring back to our heart and mind that which is absolutely essential, and indeed to remind us of the single most momentous event in human history. And this is the literal bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from among the dead. And I would like to think that something as stupendous and awesome and for all eternity, we would like to focus on that. I think it's something, maybe something amiss in our hearts and minds if we don't see the value of celebrating together on the particular way the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from among the dead.
How are, let's get practical. Why is it important preparing our hearts, though, not just waking up Sunday morning, putting on a suit, going to church,
sure,
coming home,
right,
having a big dinner?
Right.
Why is it important for us to prepare our hearts before we get into the practical ways we do it? Why is it important that we do?
Well, you know, I as you think about prayer, as you as you think about worship, and as we think about these moments leading up to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the preparation of the heart actually helps us enter into the reality of the event in a deeper and fresher way. I've said to people that Orthodox Christianity is old, but experiential Christianity is new. That is, the truth has to be appropriated and experienced in a fresh way by every generation. And so preparing our heart allows us to focus on the Lord Jesus and to experience through the power of the Spirit based on his word, the glory and wonder of his resurrection as we prepare our hearts to focus on this particular aspect and wonderful aspect of his work.
Dr. Neely, I couldn't agree with you more. What a great reminder of how special Easter is to us and how we as Christians should understand its significance in both theological and salvific import. We are going to talk about practical ways that we prepare our hearts and how we can invite others into a relationship with Jesus Christ as we observe Easter. It is just around the corner, my friends. Once again, we get a chance to gather together with the people of God to declare, "He is risen. He is risen indeed." The greatest refrain ever given to man. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be right back with more of Equipped right after. At Equipped, it's our goal to strengthen your faith. And we're always excited as we hear stories of people coming to faith as a result of our program. But we couldn't possibly accomplish this mission alone. That's why we're looking for equippers and people just like you who will give a monthly gift to help us keep this program on the air. Would you consider partnering with us? Become an equipper today and receive special insider benefits, such as a bi-weekly email that contains pastoral messages prepared just for you. Call 888-644-4144 or go online to equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks, joined today by Dr. Winfred Neely. We are helping you to prepare for Easter. So many ways you can do that. We're going to talk about those in just a moment. But Dr. Neely, I want to reference a verse of Scripture that I think is critical in its importance of us understanding the entirety of the first Easter and the entirety of what we observe and reflect on and celebrate on Easter weekend. And it's 1 Corinthians 15:21. Now, I picked this verse because it is succinct. It simply says this, Paul writing, "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man." Now, what I appreciate about that particular verse is that Paul is acknowledging both the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. One of the things that most churches do is to have Good Friday observations and gathering, as well as Easter gathering. And I'm not sure how many Christians understand the distinction there, but I often will tell my church that, hey, when we gather together on Friday, we're not looking at the resurrection on that day. We are fully soaking in the death of Christ and the implications of that, and why he had to die on that cross. Talk a little bit, if you could, Dr. Neely, about the distinction between Good Friday and Easter, the death of Christ and the resurrection.
Yeah, and those are big distinctions, especially in the way that the early believers experienced those events. We look at Good Friday, of course, in hindsight and retrospect and understand everything that was going on. The first disciples and believers really did not understand what was going on. In fact, it was not a Good Friday. It was a very, very devastating Friday for them from a human point of view. And I think a part of a Good Friday celebration. Not only is to focus on why Jesus died, but in some sense to relive some of the agony that the first believers experienced because they did not know that Jesus, I mean, Jesus had talked about his resurrection, but the resurrection was a surprise to them. When the women went to the tomb to prepare the Lord's body for burial, they were expecting to complete the embalming process. They were not expecting Jesus to be risen literally and bodily from among the dead. Talk about surprise, surprise, surprise. But I say all that to say that in some sense, reliving these events by faith actually prepares our hearts even more for the resurrection. Because on Good Friday, when people thought all hope was lost, Resurrection Sunday lets us know that all hope was not lost, but that the death of Christ was just was the work of Christ on the cross, dealing with the wrath and judgment of God that was due to our sins, sealed by his bodily resurrection from among the dead. And if we can keep those two distinct, it actually will enrich our experience of the resurrection. In fact, a couple of years ago, when we were doing our Good Friday service, one of our thoughtful sisters thought we rejoiced a little bit too much in our Good Friday service. She thought there was a little bit too much joy. She thought it could have been more of an emphasis on the crushing heartbreak that people must have experienced when Jesus died. I'm not saying we need to go to that extent about that, because we are living on the resurrection side of the cross and the glory side of the tomb now. But still, I understand that point. And so, yes, they are distinct, and being able to, and as I'm thinking about this, how powerful it could be if I'm reliving these events in my own heart and thinking, wow, that was a time when Jesus had not died. That was a time when the work of Christ was not completed on the cross. And I'm reliving those moments and the Passion Week and Jesus moving toward the cross. And from my perspective, I'm not even exactly sure how this is going to end. And then when he does die, I mean,
wow,
the devastation that they experienced.
Yes.
Right?
To see your hero, the one who gave direction, your teacher, for them, their rabbi, and the one they hung their hopes on. And we can know from Acts chapter 1 that there was still a sense of geopolitical expectation as well in their hearts. So all that to be said, it helps us to understand both the emotion that they experienced, as well as helps us to understand the total desperation that humanity faced. But the Savior comes in. He steps into that moment. Now, again, understanding why he had to die. This is what I want my church to understand, my kids to understand, family to understand. What I never want to forget about in my own heart is that it was sin, it was my sin that drove him to that cross. He died for my transgressions.
Amen.
And understanding that all sin then is first an offense against a holy God. And being able to bring us to that understanding helps us to get closer to repentance, recognizing that I need to confess those sins before the Lord, repent of my own sense of righteousness, and turn to him and him alone for salvation. And he demonstrates his power through that resurrection. I'm so grateful for you drawing a distinction. I'm grateful for that sweet lady that says, Pastor, we might be expressing a little bit too much joy here. She wasn't too far off. She was not too far off. So don't be surprised, friends, if you walk in the church on Good Friday and there is more of a somber mood. It's because the death of the Lord was we call it Good Friday now, obviously looking back on it, but certainly for those who lived in that first group of believers, it did not feel like a Good Friday to them. But now we know that it was. Let me ask you about Lent, because there's a lot who are listening to me who say, well, the way you prepare for Easter is through Lent. I'll pick something to abstain from. Maybe I won't eat meat. Maybe I won't curse or swear. Maybe I'll give up something else. What do you think of Lent?
Oh, I think it is a very good opportunity for us to recalibrate, to refocus, to use this period of time leading up to the Good Friday and Easter Resurrection Sunday morning celebrations. I think this is a great opportunity for us to take some time to prepare our hearts. And I have found these times to be very, very helpful, because they help me to understand what my priorities really, really are. You know, and so what we're doing right now at Judson Baptist Church, as you know, Chris, one of my favorite authors is A.W. Tozer.
Yes.
And one of the books that I have used in my devotions, The Knowledge of the Holy, I've been using it in my devotional life for the last 40-plus years. And so what we decided to do was to divide up the time from Ash Wednesday leading up to Easter Sunday, to divide up these times with a chapter from Tozer's book. And what I have been doing, I've made a couple of videos that have been posted on the Judson website, modeling to people how to pray through the chapter. And my whole goal for this is to help them learn how to celebrate an attribute of God each and every day, not only during this Lenten season, but for the rest of their life. And so this is an opportunity for us as a church, as a body, to do something together in terms of deepening our own devotional life with the aim of getting to know God better, not merely to learn about God, but to get to know Him better. And this Lenten season provides us with the opportunity to focus on these kinds of renewed connections with our Heavenly Father. And I think it's really, really wonderful. I think there are things we can fast from in fasting. You know, how about, here is one for folk to think about. How about not buying anything that you don't need up until Easter Sunday? just think about that. I'm not saying you don't spend. We say don't buy food. Now, don't spend money on anything that you don't absolutely need. That's just one. I'm not saying you have to do that. That's just one thing. Or not, you know, just I'm not going to look at mainstream television. I may look at the news just to keep myself informed about all this other stuff. I'm not going to expose myself to. I mean, there are different ways, because listen. It provides us with the opportunity to purify the mind. One of the things that struck me, Chris, as you know, I was a missionary for 3 years, and for 10 years, I beg your pardon, in Senegal, West Africa. In those early years, we didn't have a television, and I was always struck by how much of a purge I had to undergo when I returned to West Africa after spending a year in the United States with all of this exposure to television and all of this stuff here. And I'm not criticizing television watching. This is not what I'm doing. What I am saying is that this also provides us with the opportunity to allow more sanctification of the mind and the imagination as we you know, focus on the Lord. And what this does is help us recalibrate and remember what our priorities are before the Lord, because it's so easy to forget that.
Well, you know, you bring up some good things. I laugh. I don't know how many will jump on board with your idea of only buying what you need and abstaining from other things. Maybe there will be some. But I will say this about Lent and Lenten season. I think it is great to fast. I think it is good to discipline our flesh. I think it's important for us to resist and deny our appetites at times. But if I did have any criticism, it is far too often we subtract without adding. And I think it's not just what you don't do, it's what you do that makes a difference as well. And so as you talked about the good folks of Judson Baptist Church, focusing in on the attributes of God, if you're replacing time, activity, energy, resources that you would normally allocate to other pursuits with a dedicated, intentional focus on the attributes of God and his mission, I would say amen and amen. So don't just fast, don't just subtract from your life, but add to it things that help deepen your devotion for your Savior. We're going to talk more about this and how we can use Easter season evangelistically with Dr. Winfred Neely on the other side of this break. I'd love for you to join the conversation. How do you prepare your heart for Easter? Maybe you've been thinking about that. Social media is available to you right now, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Facebook and Twitter, Equip Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a pre-recorded encore presentation of Equipped with Chris Brooks.
Hey there, friends. Welcome back to Equipped with Chris Brooks. Having a fascinating conversation with Dr. Winfred Neely about how we prepare our hearts for Easter. It's right around the corner. I know many of us are thinking about having the right clothes, and if you're dressing the kids, how you're going to look for those family photos. Hopefully, going to church is a part of your plan. That's a good thing. Hopefully, you are going to bring family together. It is a day of celebration, but hopefully, it's also a day of theological reflection on the scriptures, on the significance of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I would also hope, Dr. Neely, it's a time where we remember that we have been called to bear witness to the death, burial, and resurrection. His earliest followers really carried that message around the world. To me, when we think about Easter, I think about Acts 1 and 8. We've been called to be a witness of this death, burial, and resurrection, aren't we?
We are called to do that. That's one of the reasons why the Lord Jesus left us on earth, was so that we would be witnesses to him, you know, to the across the planet. And the resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, is a great opportunity for us to to witness, to share our faith, to invite people to our church services who might not attend a church service under other circumstances. I mean, it just creates a lot of really providential opportunities for us to share the gospel with our friends and neighbors and relatives. And I think it's a great opportunity.
I think it's a great opportunity as well. So often you hear people say, well, you know, I'm going to church on Easter, who may not go otherwise. There's a lot of Christians who are critical of that. What's your perspective on that? Someone who is going to church on Easter or Christmas that may not go otherwise. Do you see that as an opportunity for believers or something that is negative in its reflection on where we are as a culture?
You know, I think the Lord Jesus is working, Chris, in the world. So if a person comes to church on Easter Sunday, they come to church on Christmas, this is not to say that God has not been speaking to that person, that God has not been convicting that person. I think what we need to do is ask God to give us grace to move out of our negative mindset and focus on how can we be a blessing to this person who has shown up to this church service today. Are we preaching the word? Are the messages well prepared and biblically informed and pertinent and relevant? Did the worship team prepare? Are we carrying out our services with quality and excellence? Are we greeting people? Are we smiling to people? Are we really showing the love of Jesus to people? Frankly, I'm thrilled when people show up to a church service. If I see they come only come on Easter Sunday, they come. I'm thrilled when I see them. Now, obviously, you want to see more commitment to Jesus, but my concern is this: okay, did we do our best before the Lord in terms of excellence and ministry preparation to be a blessing to this person when they do show up? And I think those are questions we need to be asking ourselves and making sure that we're preaching the gospel and staying in contact with people, you know, sending them a little note. You know, it was so good to see you on Sunday. How can I pray for you? Those kinds of things, instead of being so negative and looking like we've been baptized in lemon juice when people show up.
What a way of saying it. I agree. I think that we should not see this as a negative, that people are more open to the gospel during these times, or at least more open to an invitation. And I would say that there is an invitation here. I would choose it as an opportunity to seize. Here at our church, we often say these two words: invest and invite. The Easter season is an opportunity for you to invest into the lives of your neighbor, a coworker, friend, or family member that you've been hoping to draw to Jesus, that this would be a great time for you to invest in them, have a meal, grab lunch, spend time together. But this is also a time for you to invite someone to say, hey, would you and your family like to come and fellowship with us, come worship with us, come visit our church on Easter? And more in our culture and our society, people don't have home churches. They don't have places that they gather. And so a lot of folks are looking for that invitation. And when you do make that invitation, I think, as Dr. Neely has so rightly said, the follow-up is just as important as the invitation. Hopefully you are reaching back out to them, saying to them, hey, I hope you enjoyed it, but let's continue the conversation about Easter and what makes it so significant. And I hope, Dr. Neely, that not only are our churches full, but that many come to faith in Christ, because after all, that is the goal.
Yeah, that is the goal, therefore, to see men and women come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And I'm thinking, you know, okay, so they come to church on Sunday. Well, we send them a little note and so forth and so on, and they slip back into their world. But we live in a digital age too, Chris. We can put something on the website, you know, put a little video, you know, check out the website. It's got to be of high quality, because what's happening? There is a literal revolution taking place right now in the digital world, in terms of education, in terms of people getting training, in terms of conversations that are being had. So one of the things that I would encourage churches to do, if they can, is to ask the Lord to help them to increase their digital presence through excellent video, little short 1-2 minute video, so forth and so on. You think of something like this. You know, you got people who came to church on Sunday for Easter, you know, give them some of a check out. We will have some more videos about this during the week, little 1-2 minute videos. We put them up there, any questions you could have. And people, by and large, if it's of high quality, will engage. So to say that we have a providential opportunity to preach the gospel now, we have almost an opportunity to get the word out, Chris, today in ways that are unprecedented in human history. And we need to be taking full advantage of all of this.
Just for a moment, for the pastor who is listening to us, You've just brought up several times our video production. If you could, and I know that there's much debate on this, and maybe I'll just give you a minute or so to respond to the proper place of technology in today's ecclesiology. Because for some, it becomes a viable alternative to going to church. I don't know what the percentage will be, but I would imagine more post-COVID than ever will be watching the service from home via video. So what's the proper way to leverage that, and what may be going too far?
Well, I think we have to get out of our notion, out of our head, any notion that any kind of digital interaction with other believers in a worship service is a substitute for face-to-face interaction. I mean, you think in the letter, the second letter of John, where John says, "Though I have many things to write to you," Second John 12, "Though I have many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with," note this now, "with paper and ink. But I hope to come to you and speak face to face so that your joy may be made full." And so there is no substitute for face-to-face interaction. This is not to say that God cannot use other means. One of the reasons why we have the New Testament is because the biblical writers were not able to get there for face-to-face interaction. So what did they do? Under the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit, they penned these letters that we have to this very, very day. So to say that God does not use technology and other means of communication is not correct. He does. There are no substitute for face-to-face interaction. So I think we need to, you know, use prayerful wisdom and judgment as we go forward to preach the gospel in the digital age, understanding
that's
the value.
Good. That's good. So insightful, technology and the gospel. We'll be right back right after this. Forming your son into a man who can recognize a lie, resist it, and replace it with truth won't just happen, but it's a skill he can learn as you lead him. Lies Boys Believe is a lie-busting, truth-telling book, and it comes with a parent guide too. We'll equip you to train your son to love and trust God's word. These two resources are yours with the gift of any amount to equip. Simply call 888-644-4144 or give online at equipradio.org. Hey there, friends. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. So grateful that you have joined us today. We're talking about how to prepare our hearts for Easter, and I hope this conversation has been a blessing, as every day I hope Equip is a blessing to your life. If we have been an enriching ministry to your life, we would love your partnership today in the gospel. We are daily thinking about ways to equip you to more effectively live, share, and defend your faith. I'm so grateful that we're a part of your daily walk with Jesus. But can you support us to ensure that we're here in the future? If you have been blessed, your gifts make all the difference. So can you call today 888-644-4144 and consider giving your most generous tax-deductible gift today. That's 888-644-4144, or if it's easier, equipradio.org. Dr. Neely, I was thinking about this conversation that Jesus was having in John chapter 11 with Martha and Mary after the death of their brother Lazarus. And he is criticized by them for not coming earlier or sooner, assuming that if he was present, that would have prevented the death of Lazarus. And in one exchange, Jesus says to the women, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" I love those words, but I think about this as a parent, and I want you to put on your parental cap for just a moment. In particular, going back into the season of life where you and your wife are raising smaller children, or maybe even thinking about your grandchildren, and there's so many tough topics that come along with Easter and helping your kids to understand Easter. You have to talk about death. You have to talk about miracles, a resurrection. How do you advise parents? What wisdom would you give to moms and dads on how to talk about Easter with their kids or even grandparents with their grandchildren?
Well, I'm glad, so glad you asked that question. I think this is a great opportunity for parents to clarify who God is. You know, I mean, if you're saying in a pulpit on Good Friday, for example, that Jesus bore the wrath and judgment of God that was due to our sins, and kids hear this, they may have a misunderstanding about the wrath and judgment of God. We need to explain to our children that when we talk about the wrath of God, we're not talking about that he has lost his temper, that he does not have anger management issues, that he's not seeing red, that it's not the kind of sinful human anger that we see demonstrated in our world today, but that this is his holy, settled attitude towards sin, and that he hates sin the way we hate COVID-19, that would take the life of a child. And we do everything that we can to fight against it. Because one of the great issues that we have to clarify to our world today is the kind of God that he is. And so this is an opportunity for us to explain to our children about the character of God. It's an opportunity to also to give them some insight into this phenomenon of death. And this is going to depend, this is age specific, this is a really delicate issue, but we can also help our children, especially those that are a little bit older, understand that even death does not have the final word. Yes. That we live in a world where the Lord Jesus has conquered death through his death on the cross and his literal bodily resurrection from among the dead. Now, what this is going to do is that these kinds of conversations and lessons will prepare our children to deal with the difficulties and hurts in life that they will inevitably encounter long after we are gone. They will remember these things. I remember I was at my mother's, when my mother died, and I had a great mom, man. I mean, she was an incredible woman. She really was. And I was in the room with her when she literally breathed her last. I was there. My wife Stephanie was there. Two of my three children, Eden, Rachel, and Sterling, were in the room. My sister and my niece, my mom's pastor, all surrounding my mother's bed as she went into this lethal heart arrhythmia that literally took her life before our very eyes. We all witnessed it. And after she died, I bowed my head next to her hospital bed, and I looked and I said, Lord Jesus, if I did not believe that you were risen literally and bodily from among the dead, I would have been devastated beyond recovery, but you are alive. And I know that my mother has just stepped foot on the shores of glory, and we will meet again on the other side. Did I have sorrow in my heart? Yes. Did I shed tears in my heart? Absolutely. But man, this is sorrow. These are tears that are shed within the mighty bosom of hope grounded in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the earlier we can communicate this to our children, the better they will be in terms of how they navigate life in a crazy world.
You know, I think about my son who passed away, as you know, 2019. Yeah. And I often think back in that moment that one of the comforts that I had in my heart is that, God, you too know what it's like to experience the death of your son. And that brought tremendous comfort to me in knowing that. And in knowing that Jesus is the resurrection, and those who put their faith and trust in him will live forever with him, I am greatly comforted. So I agree with you. There is a power here. And so for moms and dads, as you're explaining this, please use the wisdom that Dr. Neely has advised us here. Don't avoid it, but use it as an opportunity to talk about God's power over death and ultimate triumph and victory. For those of you who have been listening that are not yet believers in Jesus, let me tell you the best thing about Easter. The very best thing about all of this conversation, Dr. Neely, is not the family dinner or the wonderful new clothes that the kids will have, mom and dad will wear. The best thing about Easter is that it is absolutely true that Christ did come, that Jesus did die, and that he rose again. Praise God, Dr. Neely. The tomb is empty, and he's alive.
Yeah, praise God. The tomb is empty, Chris, and his resurrection casts his glory shadow now over all of life. And that's quite thrilling to me. Quite thrilling. Amen. Glory to God.
Well, it is worth living for, and I have dedicated my life to not only celebrating that message, but telling the world about it. And I hope you will, as one song declares, go tell it on the mountains, over the hills, and everywhere. I want to encourage you to do that today. Dr. Neely, it is always a privilege and a joy to talk to you. Thank you for joining me, and to all of your family, as well as the good folks at Judson Baptist Church. I hope you guys have a great Easter.
Yeah, thank you so very, very much, Chris, and I'm honored to be here. And enjoy your road trip this summer, my friend.
I will. God bless you, brother. To all of our friends who are interested in learning more about the program, why don't you go to our website, equipradio.org. That's equipradio.org. Again, I want to say thank you. I also want to encourage you, consider becoming a monthly partner. There is so many goodies that come along with that and so much more in store. You can become a monthly partner simply by calling 888-644-4144. Go to our website, equipradio.org. Remember, Equip with Chris Brooks is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.